I would just also say thank you all for coming and being here and sharing this day with us. So, Brother Phil, you want to come up here and we'll have a word of prayer, and then you can just calm your nerves and give us the word of God. So let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity that we have of sharing your word. We ask you, Lord, to bless this word to our hearts and our minds and our souls, and give us strength and courage to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life like you did with Moses and with Paul and with many of them. We know, Lord, that we are just servants of yours, and so help us and use us this day. Use Phil, Brother Phil, here to share your word and to give us light, give us instruction, give us the beauty of it, and that it will inspire us and strengthen us all the days of our life. We want to commit this service and this sermon into your hands and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Henry, for that. Appreciate that. So good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to greet you in Jesus' name. I was sitting up here and I thought, this church house is beautiful, the hand-carved woodwork and all that. And then I thought, you know, what's more beautiful than that, I think, is the beauty of the Spirit of God that I can sense here. Thank you for bringing that here and having that here. It's just a building, but there's a Spirit of God here. Thank you for the Sunday school class and bringing out the Word. If you care to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, so we'll be taking my text. On the wings of eagles, and for my family that's here, I guess you'll just have to put up with another sermon that I preached before, and I hope it's a blessing. It was a blessing to me, and I like birds, so I thought I'd study a little bit about eagles, and as I studied, I was so blessed with eagles. The eagle is mentioned in the Bible over 30 times. And we think of God seeing the eagle as the eagle, and over in Israel would have been the golden eagle. Here we have the bald eagle. And our symbol of this nation is the bald eagle. And that's what I know of. Don't know much about the golden eagle, and I know they're about the same. But I thought back, and it's probably everybody here, especially the boys and the men, if you think back of growing up and laying in the grass and looking up at the sky, maybe when you had a big job to do and you just wore out or whatever, look up the sky and look way up there, and there's a bird rising on the currents. And a lot of times it was buzzards where I grew up, but every once in a while we'd see an eagle. I'd wish you could be way up there on the air currents, riding those currents and above the humdrum and the work and the sweat of life. Just be free. John Denver puts it pretty well. He says, throughout all the changing seasons, there's an irresistible desire to go beyond the earthbound eye or even higher, to see from the top of the world as the eagle does. And Carl Sandburg said, there's an eagle in me that wants to soar, but there's a hippopotamus in me that wants to wallow in the mud. Jen Stevens says, if we never have the courage to take a leap of faith, we'd be cheating God out of a chance to mount us up with wings like eagles and watch us soar. And Sir Winston Churchill said, when the eagles are silent, the parrots begin to jabber. When I grew up, I liked pigeons. That was my favorite bird, and I think it was because they put up with me. Dad had a barn there, and the pigeons would come in there, and I'd figure out which ones were the pairs, and I'd build little rough boxes for them and put them up there on the beams, and they just put up with that, and they nested in those boxes and acted like they liked it, and I'd name them, and I'd write them down in a pad. This pigeon belonged to this one, and I had quail, and I tried to make it where they'd hatch their own eggs, and they wouldn't do it for me. I made this box and put hay in there, and they'd go in there and lay eggs and sit on them for about a day, and they'd give it up. And I'd take those eggs, and I'd take them to the pigeons. And a pigeon egg hatches in 3 weeks, and a quail egg hatches in 4 weeks. So sometimes I'd have to switch them from my boxes because the pigeons would give up on the eggs. Put those quail eggs up there, and my box wasn't tall enough. The little quail would jump out if I didn't catch them in time and run out and hail off, and I'd lose them. Pigeons can flap their wings and then glide. As I got older, I probably liked martins better, purple martins, and we have purple martins at home, and Jordan says I like them too much, and Melissa says I have too many. But they're martins that they can flap their wings and then really glide. And if you go out there in the evening, or I'm coming back from chore, and you can watch the martins just glide around and then come swooping in to their nests there. But when I was studying about eagles, I'm not sure that eagles, at least in an aggressive bird, the eagle is my favorite bird. And again, it talks about eagles so often in the Bible. In Isaiah 40, verse 27, I think we'll just jump in there and read to verse 31, which would be the end of the chapter there. And if you get the picture of the Israelites, well, God's talking to the Israelites, and he's saying in verse 27, he's talking back to the Israelites and saying, you know, you're saying that I don't hear you and that I'm not seeing you. And I'll just read it there. What do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ethan Beach is on a hike, and I follow him sometimes. He's a youth, has a lot of stamina. He's hiking and hiking and hiking. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Ethan gets tired. And the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, what a promise if we can reach out and claim that. In Proverbs 30, verse 18 and 19, it says, there are three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. And if you think of those four things, all those things are hard to understand. The way of an eagle in the air, way up in the air, riding those currents. The way of a serpent on a rock, a snake going across a rock. How does he just move across there so gracefully? The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. How can that work? Think of the ark and the great flood and the way of a man with a maid. Who can understand love? But right in there in those four things is the eagle in the air. The eagle is the most majestic of all birds mentioned in the scriptures. Just above the eagle's eye, there's a little bone that protrudes out just briefly, just extends out. And it looks like decisiveness to our human eye. And if the eagle lacked those little protrusions right over its eye, it would appear to be passive like a parrot, you know, like just a flat head. But an eagle looks like he's thinking. An eagle can see up to 2 miles. So I'm not sure where to pick a landmark, but 2 miles away and then a fish up to a foot underwater. You can imagine an eagle sitting on a perch and looking 2 miles and seeing a bass swimming underwater a foot. And he flies off and he heads over there. And then he goes on down and grabs that fish. You know what he says? He says, I think I'll just take breakfast to go. An eagle has two lenses in their eyes. They can fly right into the sun. They can close that clear lens across its eye. And I think sunglass companies probably would love to know what that is, but we can't quite get that done, can we? But he can fly right into the sun. You know what happens when there's one bird that can set on an eagle's back. So he comes around and he lands right on his back and he pecks at its neck. You know what that eagle does? He don't just try to fight back from around. He just lifts off and he flies toward the sun. He flies higher and higher and higher until that crow runs out of air and can't take it anymore. And he can't take going right into the sun. Three sets of eyelids. There's a clear lens that can come over its eye. And like when the little eaglets are trying to get food and when it comes down and grabs its prey and it's fighting, that eyelid protects that eye. An eagle can see that well. If we would have an eye like an eagle, like if this eye could see like an eagle, our eye would be supposedly like 9 inches around. So we could walk around and we'd say, I saw that eye before. 9 inches. A hummingbird that we all know of feeding the backyard. They're flappers. 50 to 80 times a second. They're just, don't that remind you of us sometimes just so busy flapping? There's a gliding bird, like a purple martin that could flap its wings and then glide into the nest. But eagles can soar. They only have to move their wings like 10% of the time. And the rest, they can spread their wings and just soar. I don't quite understand it, but the way I can picture it in my mind is their feathers are out like this. So just like an airplane, when the air passes over the wingtips faster on top than underneath, and that creates lift. But with those feathers out like that, and I don't know if scientists quite understand it, but with a plane, like an airplane, there's drag. But with these eagles, with those feathers all separate, there's just little drags. Instead of one big drag, there's little air current drags. So that's what helps that eagle look like it's effortlessly up there. An eagle spends an hour or more a day preening its feathers, cleaning its feathers, oiling its feathers. So it goes through each feather and takes its beak and runs it across there and steam cleans it and runs that oil across it. It's a challenge to me. How often do I take God's word and let it clean me and let it oil me and help me? They shed their feathers, but when their wings are, until they get to that molting stage, there's never one feather right beside another that sheds at the same time. When they sense a storm, a lot of times they'll fly right at the storm because there's so much uplift in a storm that they can soar higher and higher above a storm. When a female tries out a potential suitor for a mate, according to a legend, she takes a twig and takes it way up high and drops it. And she watches if that male can dive down and catch the twig and bring it back up to her. And then maybe she'll pick up that twig and take it even higher and drop the twig and see if he can catch that twig before it hits the ground. I've been trying to keep up with Melissa for 20 years plus. Still haven't made that. When eagles finally pair up, they mate for life. Isn't that a lesson for us? They fall in love and won't get over it. And then they start on the nest. As an eagle builds, so the Lord builds. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In Deuteronomy 32:4, it says, He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right. as he. And not always is work in a nest or God's work with us. Not always do we see that as beautiful. Think of Cornerstone Construction, and there's several of you here. When you start a house, you start that foundation, and then you start with studs and 2x4s and floor joists, and it's not always all that pretty to start with. The foundation has to be laid, and the walls be framed, the trusses be put in place, and the plumbing has to be roughed in, and the electric. Until we can get those floor coverings like this carpet on, it's not all that beautiful. That's how an eagle does. He'll start with carrying up big sticks up there in a high spot. And one thing that they have to look for is about the highest place that they can look all around. There's no obstructions. And we build our lives. Do we have obstructions? Do we have things in our way that keep us from looking up at God? So they go up there and they build those first big sticks, and then they bring mud in there, and then they bring more sticks and smaller sticks, and finally there's rabbit skin and fur and moss and whatever up there at the top. And they start finishing out that nest. And they build that nest, and then comes the egg-laying time. And the female goes in there and lays the eggs, and they take turns setting on the eggs. And legend again has it that when the mother comes in and sets on the eggs, the daddy eagle brings something for her to eat. And then they stretch out her legs, and they entwine their legs. It's almost like they're holding hands. And then they rub their beaks on each other. And maybe he'll take a turn, and she'll go out to hunt. Beautiful picture of working together, setting on those eggs. And they say that the number one enemy in the nest, the egg-laying stage, is a serpent. Because a snake can come up there and go into that nest. And if both eagles are gone, he'll come up there to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Don't that sound like our enemy, the serpent? And they set on those eggs until they hatch, and Randall's been looking at that, but there's several. You can go on to a cam, a live cam, and out in California there's a nest, in PA there's a nest, and I think in Colorado there's a nest that you can, there's cams right on the eagle nest, and watch those eagles setting on those eggs. And I remember back when that snowstorm was out in California, that late snowstorm, I looked at that cam, and the eagle was sitting there, and there was just snow coming down and almost covering that eagle, and it just sat there. And I thought, doesn't look like egg hatching season. But they take their turns setting on those eggs, and finally the eggs hatch. And the eaglets come out, and we think our babies are cute, and they are. But eaglets are not pretty when they're born, when they're hatched. They are some ugly. But I'm sure those mom and daddy eagle, they probably think, well, this is the best hatch we've ever had. And the imprint season of a little eaglet's life, when he's hatching and he's in that nest, and they say if you take an eaglet out of the nest and you put it down with a chicken, that eaglet would grow up thinking it's a chicken. It would scratch and walk around in the dirt. Not like an eagle. Who is speaking in your life? And what are we teaching our children? Be careful, because those things will impress upon the spirit of God's children. And if you're in an eagle's nest and you see mama eagle and daddy come in with wings like eagles, and bringing that food in, and that majestic wingspan that comes and lands on your nest, that drives you up and up to higher things. And makes you want to soar. Surround yourself with people that bring you up and not down. And then as those eaglets grow and they're growing, Mom will pre-chew that meat and that Bugs Bunny that she brings in. And she'll chew it. And I remember Grandma doing that a little bit, chewing the meat for the little one so that he could digest it. And then bigger and bigger, as they bring a bass in there, or the rabbit, or the squirrel, or whatever, then the eaglet starts tearing that apart himself, going from milk to meat. And finally, Mama Eagle comes in there, and she starts, that nice fur that the little eaglet's sitting on, she starts taking that fur and kicking it out the side, and makes it to where the nest isn't all that comfortable anymore. And that little eaglet probably thinks, Mama, what are you doing to me? But it makes that eaglet, instead of wanting to stay in the nest, it makes him want to move around a little more, and he gets those leg muscles strengthened up. Finally, there's no moss and there's no fur left in that nest. And maybe the daddy eagle comes in with that rabbit, and he's sitting right at the edge of the nest, and the little eaglet has to go over there to right at the edge. And those sticks are not very comfortable out there anymore. And there's big sticks and sticks that poke the bottom of its belly. And we stops looking maybe at the nest so much and wondering what's on the outside of the nest. Is it even right if sometimes we're completely comfortable in church and in our life, and there's so much more to learn? And then maybe Junior Eaglet is out there at the edge of the nest, and he's sitting there, and one time Mom comes in there, and she's walking around there, and she gives him a gentle push. And Junior goes over the edge of the nest. Now, if you can imagine an eagle that's used to having something under it, all it wants is a free fall. And maybe the eaglet just turns over and over and down and down. And probably Junior is saying, Mom, help me. And he's turning over and over and heading for the ground. And I don't know what he's thinking, but he's thinking, you don't love me anymore. You can't love me anymore, because I'm going to for sure die when I hit the ground. And just before it lands, it falls to the ground, and Daddy Eagle is still up in the air. And if you remember, Daddy had to chase that twig for Mom. An eaglet can never fall faster than a Daddy Eagle can dive. And that Daddy Eagle puts it in dive mode and comes on down and spreads his wings and catches that little eaglet as he's turning over and lands on his back, and he takes it back up there, all the way up to the nest and up to a rock. And the little eaglet sets up there on the rock. And he says, oh, that was closed. And I'm never getting out of this again. That was so uncomfortable. And maybe Daddy Eagle is walking over there the next morning, and he's walking right at the edge. And what do you know, one time, a doink. And Junior's back to rolling and flopping and all the way back down. And maybe Junior this time is upside down, and his feet are sticking straight up, and Daddy comes down and grabs those feet and flips him over. And all at once, when he's trying to move around and sticking his feet and wings or whatever he can out, all at once those wings catch a little bit of current. And he catches a little bit of air, and he gets started flying just a little bit, but he can't fly, and Mama swoops right underneath him again, and lands on its back, and this time we're going to draw blood, because we're not turning loose. Takes him back up there and sets him on the rock, and until he can get those wings spread out, until he can get up in the air, they're going to bear him up on eagle's wings, just like it says. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Her eyes are always on those little ones. The same is true for our lives. God's always looking there. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Psalm 33:18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." Job 28:10, "He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing." The eagle bears them up. Isn't it nice to know that the bottom is where the Lord is? The bottom is where that daddy eagle is going to catch little eagle. And when we fall or we fail in service, he's right there to bear us up. We don't ask to be launched off or kicked off the ledge. I don't know a whole lot about scary rides at amusement parks, but you eat a $12 hot dog and then you get thrown around, up and down and around. Throw that $12 hot dog up and hopefully buy another one. But there's safety rails there. There's no safety rails in life, is there? It feels like sometimes we can be on a free fall, far from your job or far from a relationship. The rug's pulled under out of your feet. When you think you know where you're going and you're not getting there, you know that feeling where you're saying, "Daddy, help me." Remember that 2-mile eyesight? And that dive, it's almost 50 to 100 miles an hour. Father Eagle has this. Our God has it. And again, the process never ends. He builds and he breaks, and he broods and he bears. He builds, he breaks, he broods and he bears. He builds, he breaks, he broods and he bears. And someday, we'll look back and say, "God, thank you for helping me get to know you." We all want to get to know God in a better way. But sometimes it takes those things. And then there's one more thing that happens in an eagle's life. And I don't know if I was quite aware of this, but I was reading about an old Indian at a reservation. And he loved eagles. And on this reservation, there was a place where the eagles would gather. And eagles go through a time about 40 to 50 years old. They go through a time of molting where they do lose more of their feathers in a line. And their feathers get old. And when they're flying, they start whistling. And their little oil sacs under their wings dry up. And there's no more oil for those feathers. And on this reservation, the Indian took this missionary back and he said, "This is the place. This is the eagle graveyard." And it's where the eagles decide to live or just give up and die. And an eagle ends up to where he can't hardly fly anymore. He can't catch anything to eat anymore. And a lot of times the best thing for an eagle to do at that point is to go to a rock that is a dark rock that soaks up the heat of the sun. And they lose their appetite because they're not used to being. It's almost like being in a cage. They can't do anything. And they're sitting there on that rock. And the thing that an eagle needs to do is take his wings and spread them out and sit back on that rock and let the sun, S-U-N, soak into its feathers and heal that. We need to let the sun, S-O-N, send that healing balm. And as the eagle sits there, according to that story of that reservation, the Indian said, "What? You can watch this." And he told the missionary, sometimes it's the mate that is mated for life, or maybe it's eagles that have went through it before. They'll go and catch some meat, and they'll never go down to where that eagle is, but they'll fly over, and they'll drop that meat down on that rock or wherever that eagle is. And the eagle can decide to walk over there and eat that meat or just let it go. And according to that Indian, there's more eagles that die than eagles that live because they lose their desire to live. They lose their appetite, and they, even though the meat's laying right there, they won't go over and pick it up. And an eagle's eyes are bright, extremely bright. And when they go through that molting period, as they lose their strength, their eyesight starts dulling. Please don't draw into a shell. Let the sun heal. Let the sun shine. Let those mates, those eagles that have been through that before, come in with food. And finally, as he's sitting there and the sun's shining on him and his wings are spread out, those little reservoirs of oil finally start filling up again. And God blesses that. And he has oil to go on. He has oil to reach down there with his beak and pull that oil out and start oiling those feathers again. So where those feathers used to be whistling and dying and falling out, those feathers are being renewed. So he can mount up with wings like an eagle and be renewed. Wait on the Lord. We're not meant to be pigeons. We're not meant to be purple martins. We're not meant to be hummingbirds that flap and flap and flap, flappers. We're meant to be eagles that soar. And we're not going to soar every day. But with the help of God and with the healing of God and with the help of others around us, that spirit of Christ, we can soar and go up and up toward the sun, S-O-N. Praise the Lord. That those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the story of the eagle. And that has been such a blessing in my life. And thinking back of some of the times that what's left is to trust in God. And God is so faithful. And He will do that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for being here. Thank you, Lord, for the lesson of Moses. And Lord, as the mother Moses depended on you and trusted in you, and Lord, help us to give our lives and our burdens and our care to you. Lord, we think of the eagles. You've created us to soar and to go up and up and up. Help us to lift each other up, Lord, and help each other. And Lord, as we do that we could and depend on you. Thank you, Lord, that you're there with a blessing, that you've promised we can mount up with wings like an eagle. Help us to wait on you, Lord. Just pray for each one, each soul in this church. We commit them to you. Lord, we thank you for the Spirit here and saints that are here. Thank you for each and every one that is here this morning. We just give them to you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done. We love you and all, and want to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Phil, for the